How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. I'm a little hoarse. I've been battling this cold, flu, whatever you want to call it, for, geez, I mean, my producer will tell me in the next segment, I'm sure. He has it written down, but it's crazy this year. I blame the kids. But I'm here, a lot of pro wrestling to talk about. Obviously, Raw's debut on Netflix, big story here. You know, sometimes there's pivotal moments where things change in sports, especially in pro wrestling. And we've seen a major shift to streaming, which is fascinating, but that both companies took that leap at the same time. Raw and Netflix debut, we're going to talk about the ratings, the quality of the show, what it means for the future. Will every show look like this? Because, man, that building looked incredible. That new Clippers Stadium is state-of-the-art. And I think a lot of other venues are going to follow. I already heard a buzz about this, and I'll talk about it in the next segment. Friday Night SmackDown and the build to Royal Rumble, we're continuing that. AEW Collision also was last night. That Cope. I get shocked every time I call him Adam Copeland. That Cope Big Bill match, I really enjoyed it. They both look like $1 million. And we'll talk about this because, you know, guys like Big Bill, that's a major change if you're going to position him in a top, you know, moment in that company, a top position in that company. You're kind of changing the dynamic, and I welcome that. I think they may need something like that. Obviously, New Japan also ran a show last night. MLW ran a show last night. A lot of pro wrestling this weekend. MLW got a new world champion, Matt Riddle. If we could add that to the notes, I want to touch on that a little bit because it was live on YouTube. When we come back, all this and a whole lot more, Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Do me a favor. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. You can follow me there. You can find out everything I'm up to. I do this show and a whole lot more. The Madman Podcast, Beyond the Bell. We're live, pal, with Garrett Gonzalez on Wrestling Observer. A lot of stuff happening here. And great time to cover wrestling. I don't think we've ever been in a time frame where there's so much great professional wrestling happening. You could nitpick the bad, but why spend time on something that's not good? I want to talk about the positive here. I mean, obviously some negative stuff also, but I don't dwell on it. I want to talk about the positive. And here's a positive. Monday Night Raw debuted on Netflix. This is a huge contract, long-term deal with WWE, putting their archives on there, internationally running pay-per-views on there. I see it ending on Peacock eventually. I think this is the plan to move everything here to Netflix. But, you know, a lot of people were questioning, what will the live viewership be for this? What can it be? What are the advantages? What are the disadvantages? You know, part of the conversation, and I cover technology, you know, for people who don't know, my background is in tech originally. Started off doing tech podcasts and tech radio. And the conversation of streaming versus linear would come up all the time. And it really, the answer to this was when sports moves over to from linear to streaming or whatever you want to call it, that's when the pivotal shift will happen. And we're seeing that. With MLB streaming and the NFL and hockey, it's a whole new world. And a lot of people were questioning, what can Monday Night Raw do on Netflix? What would a good number be? I still don't know what is considered to be a good number. But in a statement released on Thursday, and the reason why that statement came out is because on Wednesday, sometime in the afternoon, there was, and MG, I forgot the company that put this out. But they claim that 640,000 households consumed Raw, which is devastatingly low. Netflix came out the next day debunking this. And in an announcement, Netflix announced that Monday Night Raw drew 4.9 million live plus one viewers across the world, which is calculated by total live view hours of the show divided by the runtime of the show. So wacky way of doing it. It's a wacky way of putting it together. Monday Night Raw averaged 2.6 million households in the United States, which was specifically up around 116% over Raw's average viewership of 1.2 million per episode in 2020. 1.2 million households. So it doubled. You know, it was a doubling of a household number. But, you know, you got to think about this, right? And we were talking about this. I was talking to someone else about this, and we were discussing how the accessibility, right? Like, Monday night, I wasn't home at 8 o'clock. I was on the train. And you know what I did? I turned it on my phone, and I was watching on the train. Yeah, of course, you have that availability. You can do that. You can watch, you know, your cable, some providers, but people don't think that way when it comes to cable television. They think like that when it comes to streaming. Very interesting stuff. Now, I don't know what the plus three number would be. I think that's very interesting what it can be. I'm willing to bet on Monday they'll announce something, you know, over the 1 week span. 5 billion people across the nation and the galaxy consume Monday Night Raw. But it was, you know, in, with the ratings and stuff, I think this is, it's interesting. I don't know what this means for the long term, but very strong number. I'll take that as a win for them. The other thing that was a win was the visuals. MG, what did you think of the quality of the show?
I loved it. As far as how it was presented, the camera work is fantastic. I will say Samba TV, by the way.
Samba TV, there you go. Yeah.
That's what I was doing the last 2 minutes trying to find that. Because it was so obscure that they released that number. I liked how it was presented. Now, I have some gripes more than you probably about the content and some of the things they did as far as, all like introductions, basically, because that's what that show was. Because as an American viewer and as a P1, that term, we kind of forget that we want the wrestling. We kind of forget that they were kind of reintroducing this to a larger global market. So they were basically, this was an introduction episode. And I imagine the next two or three will be similar, but with a little bit more wrestling as we go forward.
Hey, listen, I don't know. I don't know. And I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. You know, watching this, and I was watching with my wife and my, you know, when I got back, I turned it on because I wanted to see the quality and it looked remarkable. And she said something, you know, and this is a not even a casual viewer, right? This is someone that it's always on in the background. She consumes it. It's not her. She doesn't pick wrestling to watch. She'll tolerate it if it's on. She's
walking in and out of the room.
Mm-hmm. She's doing something else. And she said to me, she looked at me, she goes, you know, this is not like pro wrestling. I said, then what is it? And she goes, it's a spectacle. And she's absolutely right. What they did on Monday was a spectacle. Everything was bigger than life. Everything looked great. This is what Vince's end vision for this company was a spectacle.
You know, another thing I noticed, and I don't know how you feel about this, but and I think Dave might have had to say, they were rating this based on households. You can no longer rate viewership by a household number anymore. You have to rate it on devices.
Yeah.
The number of devices watching this, because anyone can watch it from anywhere. Yeah. And, you know, as long as you're not regional blocked by Netflix, you can watch it in any country. So, yeah.
As far as the matches went, you know, it was fine. Nothing great, nothing tremendous. I like the CM Punk and Seth Rollins match a little bit more than some other people. I thought it was a fine TV match. CM Punk really put on a masterclass on how to take his finisher. whether that was intentional or not, it looked like $1 million every time. It looked like he knocked his head off.
I'm glad both of them walked out of that, because it looked at one point like I was like, can these guys just not get injured in this match?
Well, I did enjoy the ending of the match where it was the same exact finish as what he did with Jon Moxley in AEW.
Yes.
It was an identical ending.
Setting up. I think that maybe if it's the same thing in the Roman match, if that's where they're going, which it appears they are. So
yeah, I mean many levels here. Many levels they go, and you know, everybody's declaring. John Cena came in. He declared for the Royal Rumble. You know, obviously he'll be at Elimination Chamber. This is the beginning of his farewell tour. They're gonna have a very successful year. Dwayne, he's back in some capacity. He was there on Monday. He was there on NXT on Tuesday. That almost gave them a million live viewers.
What'd you think of that promo? Because we talked about it the other day on the Matt.
I don't know. I get why.
I just felt like it was all over the place. Like it was. It didn't need to be there, but it was viewership, right?
I don't know. Maybe they're planning something. I don't know. But it didn't matter what he said, really, because it was the whole point was to just put him out there and... You know, think about it this way, right? If you have not seen wrestling in a very long time, or you don't really follow him, you're trying to capture who this man is, the first time you see him, do you want him to be this monstrous heel? I think a lot of people would be confused. Why is Dwayne being so mean?
Right.
I don't know. I didn't love it, but they're apparently trying something there. But overall, it was interesting. It was not so much a pro wrestling show, but it was a variety hour of sorts. But when we come back from break, we're going to talk about SmackDown, Collision, New Japan, and a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Don't go away. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. SmackDown on Friday. I did not love the show. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. But the story here, you know, there's a lot of changes here. Obviously, Joe Tessitore and Wade Barrett are the new announcers for SmackDown. And that's how the show started. And a lot of this has to do with the Netflix move. And I think Tessitore is fantastic. You know, for all the people that came from the outside in, he really is probably one of the best that they've had, right? I mean, they've attempted this many times to get a legitimate broadcast. Not that these guys are not legitimate broadcasters, but... an outside broadcaster to come in and to fit as well as, you know, Joe has. I that's a rarity, right?
It is a rarity.
Who's the last one?
You know, there's one word. Mauro Ronaldo.
Mauro is a wrestling guy. Mauro is a super fan.
But he's known in the boxing world and other combat sports and UFC, or not UFC, but MMA sports. So he had,
I don't know, Mauro,
he had some
Mauro
track
to me,
record.
Mauro to me was, I 100% think Mauro was extremely unique, especially for that time, and successful at what he did. But he was still like a big wrestling fan. Joe, really not so much, and he's really adapted.
Oh, he says he's a wrestling fan. He's been
not
a wrestling
like,
fan.
Not
he's
like
been
a Mauro.
No, okay, fair. But yeah, but he is, the word I would say is credibility.
Yeah,
he brings
he's very good.
Credibility to it.
Yeah, Paul Heyman started the show up. He put Roman over winning the Tribal Combat match. He said Roman had something to share, and he wanted Cody out there. So Cody comes out, and Paul tells him that Roman is entering the Royal Rumble. This year's Royal Rumble is going to have everybody in there, huh? You're going to have...
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a start.
I mean, Punk's in it, right? Punk's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Cena's in it. Roman's in it. Obviously, some surprises
it's not gonna
also.
Stop there, yep.
It's Goldberg in it.
Personally, I hope not, but we'll see.
Is Lesnar returning?
I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know.
We'll see.
There's a lot of names there that could be back.
Yeah, he said that he's going to be entering the Rumble, and his intention is get his title back. Kevin Owens interrupts this with a microphone in the crowd, and Cody would chase him after, you know, out of, you know, around the building. Then Tama Tonga and Tagovailoa come out. I'm sorry, Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu would come out. They would sneak into the ring. Corner Paul Heyman. Jimmy Uso comes in. Cody would come back to set up a tag match at the end of the show. So, chaos. Total chaos. Chelsea
this
Green
is
defeated
how the show
Mitchin.
Began
this
ended,
is, yeah,
by the way.
This, well, that's the big story here, right? And it is amazing to think about. I'm only drawing this comparison because I can't think of a long-term stable. Like a program for a group, for a faction that has gone on this long and it's still really good. You know, the NWO burnt in a couple years. DX, same thing. Not enough time. It just burnt out. These guys have not burnt out. This is NWO level, peak NWO level, you know, at times, peak NWO level chaos.
It comes and go. It was kind of waning there a couple months ago when
but
Roman
it's back
wasn't
now.
Around.
Yeah, but now it's back. Mm. And the big story, you know, they're telling the story here, and they're taking their time at telling the story. The Roman story started in 2020. 5 years we've been telling this Roman Reigns story. That's, I can't think of the last time that happened. Give me another pro wrestling angle that has gone on this long and has evolved this much. Normally, you know, they do a breakup in a matter of months, if not a year. And everybody goes their own way and they do their own thing. And then like 2-3 years later, oh my gosh, it's a reunion. It's wild.
And then we get the can they coexist storyline.
And then you get the can they coexist storyline. I like the fact that they've continued this. You know, they haven't muddied this up. And they've added people.
I mean, it comes and go.
It comes and goes. It comes and goes.
Yeah, and it's starting to build back up. I don't know where we're headed, but at some point, The Rock is getting involved hands-on in this. So
yeah. We got Chelsea Green and Mitchin. Chelsea Green won that for the Women's United States Championship. They went 8.5 minutes. Los Garza.
She's been fantastic, by
who?
The way.
Who? Chelsea Green?
Chelsea Green,
yeah. Yeah, she's great. Mm-hmm.
Just very in that good. comedic kind of non-serious role.
You know, she was great in TNA, you know? Mm-hmm. She was always good.
She's been good wherever she goes. Yeah. It's just, she's not, it's hard to take her character seriously. So it's that comedic thing, but she's really good in the ring. So it helps.
Los Garza defeated Pretty Deadly. So this was funny. So Fatu and Tonga were seen backstage. They're getting thrown out, right? They're getting thrown out of the building. LA Knight will come into the frame and shove them out the door and make sure the door is locked behind him. And he says he has a title to win. Very well done. Mm-hmm. I thought that was funny.
It was like kind of abrupt, and I just kind of chuckled. I was okay, this is not going to end well for him, though.
No, it's not going to end well for LA Knight. LA Knight defeated Shinsuke Nakamura via DQ. They went about 14 minutes or so. Jacob and Tonga would, of course, get back in the building and interfere to get the DQ win for LA Knight. So I guess next week we're going to see something here, right?
Yeah, it looks like another, it's like a side program to keep these guys busy for a while.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it in a second, but Solo Sikoa will be back next week too. So
yeah.
Obviously,
Motor City Machine Guns.
This isn't done.
Motor City Machine Guns defeated A-Town Down Under. Bayley defeated Nia Jax, Naomi, and Bianca Belair to become the number one contender for the Women's Championship. Interesting move there. I'm curious where they're going with this. And the main event was Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu defeating Cody and Jimmy Uso. Story here was Kevin Owens would get involved. It would become a huge problem. It was a big brawl at the end. Cool. Okay. I didn't love it. I thought it was whatever. It was what it was.
It was. Yeah, it was kind of a placeholder show. Kind of move a few stories along. Yeah. But nothing too seriously. There was a big thing online. Did you see Denise on TV? And others?
I did not. No, where was she?
No, they recapped the Tiffany Stratton cash-in from last week.
Oh, and they did the. They did
and they're
the,
doing a gimmick where they're featuring all the streamers reacting to
reactions.
It.
Yeah,
yeah.
I saw that, and people were accusing all these streamers of being paid to do it, and I could tell you they did not pay them. They're not.
They're not, and they don't even know that WWE is pulling their content.
Yeah, I'm not.
Because one of them reacted to it. And
now we're just, that's so, all we're going to get. We're going to get a bunch of, mm-hmm. We're going to get a bunch of these fake reactions now. Everybody's going to post a fake reaction and crying video. Oh my gosh, you cashed in. Monday Night Raw, tomorrow on Netflix. Here's the card so far. Damian Priest, Finn Balor in a street fight. Damian Priest is one of my favorite people there. He's incredible. His story is incredible.
And when you think of where he came from and how long he's been on the indies, it is fantastic.
Yeah, I have a very soft spot for Damian. I love that he's reached the highest possible level of this. Chad Gable versus to be announced. It's believed to be Penta. We're going to get the Penta debut.
I'm very curious.
There you go. Yeah. See? We both are. We're both very curious.
How are they going to pull this off? One, what changes to his character are they going to give? Is he still going to be doing the symbols and all that? And,
I think he has to.
I mean, he almost has to, right? It's part of his, that's what people react to. So, I will be very curious about this.
Yeah, I hope it works well. You know what I want to see? I want to see him and Punk again. I want to see him and Cody. I want to see
Cody would be interesting.
I want to see him and Chelsea Green again.
Yeah, I know.
You know, people don't realize they had a hardcore match in Lucha Underground.
So did him and Io Sky. And
he, him and Io Sky too. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember the what were they called? The I can't remember the girl faction.
I don't remember.
Lucha Underground. It'll come to me like a segment from now. But yeah.
Yeah. So we're gonna get Chad Gable with the possible debut against Penta. Looking forward to that. Women's Intercontinental Title Tournament. Valkyria versus Dakota Kai.
Sheamus versus, that was it.
The Triad. That's what it was. Thank you so much. There you go. Look at that. Your memory's hanging in.
Just
I'm on a I'm on a radio delay here. My brain is on a 7-second delay. Sheamus versus Ludwig Kaiser, CM Punk appearance, probably talking about what he's planning next. Gunther appearance, Rhea Ripley appearance, and I'm sure a whole lot more. That's for Raw. SmackDown next week. Only a few things. WWE Women's Champion Tiffany Stratton defends against Bayley. That cash-in was great. I really like that cash-in, how she did it. Solo Sikoa returns, Motor City Machine Guns versus Los Garza. I do like that they actually have tag teams now in this company. Between DIY, yes. Motor City Machine Guns, Los Garza, they've put together A-Town Down Under. They've actually put together a tag division again. It is one of those few things where, and even AEW, right? AEW, you could always have a top main event guy, right? And you could have a top main event program, and everything else could be kind of eh. We see that in every company. But the tag division is one of those things that it just, sometimes it's on fire, and then other times it goes away for like 8 months. I think both companies are in the process of rebuilding their tag divisions. We'll talk about that when we get to AEW, but very exciting stuff. When we come back, we're going to talk about Collision, New Japan, and a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. I want to touch on New Year's Evil a little bit. NXT put on a big show on Tuesday. He got almost a million viewers. Dwayne was on it. He showed up with his goosebumps having muscles. He did his whole thing. He was cursing a ton on linear TV. But the big story here was a lot of changes, especially for the women's titles. 4 women's title changes, right? Yeah, in general for WWE. But yeah, Julia defeating Roxanne Perez to win the women's championship. Yeah, Stephanie Vaquer becoming the number one contender for the NXT Women's North American Championship. Oba Femi defeated NXT champion Trick Williams and Eddie Thorpe in a three-way, in a triple threat match to win the NXT championship. Oba Femi's incredible. After the match, Julia would come out of the back to the stage and meet Oba Femi, and they would pose together with their titles, and pyros went off. The Rock was there. He just said a bunch of stuff, and they popped that rating, and they re-aired this at 8 p.m. on Saturday.
Sounds like a reboot, doesn't it?
A little bit.
There's a bunch of people going up to the main roster, it sounds like.
That's I hope so. I mean, Roxanne is tremendous. She's tiny, but she's really incredible. Trick Williams is a main. At this point, I think he should be on the main roster.
That chant gets over, and it gets over big time. So,
yeah, Lexus King. Yeah. Lexus King defeated Heritage Cup champion Charlie Dempsey. So they're really pushing Lexus King there. Let's talk about Collision. So there was a number of things on the show that I really liked, and then there was the main event. There was a Chris Jericho Dax match. I did not care for that ending. It did not look good, but I got to tell you, man, Big Bill, Adam Copeland, Adam the Cope Copeland, the Rated R superstar, Adam the Cope Copeland.
At least you went away from Edge. We got you. You know what?
I'm not edging anymore. No more Edge. It's about the Cope. I'm coping. Cope defeated Big Bill in a really good match. I'm gonna say something, and I'm sure people will get a little upset, but you have a guy like Big Bill. These guys really don't exist much anymore in pro wrestling. This dude has the look, he has the body, he has some sort of swagger, he's improved tremendously on his promo abilities. There is something there with him. And AEW has not done a great job at getting these big guys over. AEW is all about the work rate. It's about the Kenny Omegas, the Brian Danielsons, the John Moxleys, the Swerve Stricklands, the Hangman Pages. What would it do to that dynamic by injecting Big Bill in a major program as being a top player in this company? I think they need to look at this a little bit, with Jericho right there, kind of helping him.
I'm saying this because
sometimes I could see something, and I see it with Big Bill, and I think a lot of people have seen it with Big Bill. And if they don't utilize him and elevate this to some extent, right? Because there's something, there's momentum. That crowd reaction, there was 2,000 people in that building. That crowd reaction was tremendous for this match. And it was as much for Cope as it was for Big Bill. That big monster kick out of that spear sent that building on fire. If you don't utilize him, now that you're seeing there's something happening, over the last couple of months, there's been more traction with Big Bill. All you are doing is serving as a finishing school for when he goes to WWE. And I'm willing to bet if there was any opportunity and he was to go there and he looks the way he looks and he's improving the way he's improving, because I would say this guy is most improved out of anybody, it'll be another story of how they had something and they just couldn't figure it out. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I do know a lot of people in that company were talking about how great he looked and how great he's been looking. And kudos to this guy. Changed his entire life around. We know the stories. We know how bad it was. And this man changed his entire life. Listen, maybe I'm a little biased. He's a Northeastern Queens kid. He played basketball here. He's a local legend. But I think people need to realize that they have something in them. The big story here was obviously... Copeland defeated him. He wants that title. He's going after... I mean, I don't know who he's going after. He's going after the ROH title. He's going after Moxley's title. Do they want both? I don't know. But apparently he wants both. Jericho and Brian Keith would jump Cope after the match, but FTR would run down and make the save. We got a great promo from Hangman Page.
This was fantastic. The demeanor of it.
I heard people
complaining about this too.
Why?
Online.
Really?
It's just dumb.
What were they saying?
Because it just felt like, oh, you need to move on to a new story. I goes, no, this is his character.
Yeah.
This broken person over something that happened in his past.
He can't get over it.
Playing it out.
He cannot get over it. And I like that. He's a great maniac, Hangman.
Yeah.
Great guy. He does a great job at this. Hangman would cut a very subtle promo backstage blaming what to him after Swerve broke into his house. What explain what that means. My notes have failed me.
They did. Wow. Missed a whole word there.
I missed a whole word. Pretty much he explained that he blamed himself for letting it happen. and made sure that Swerve wasn't the world champion. He also addressed Chris Daniels trying to help him in recent weeks and saying he didn't need help. Next week, it's going to be a Texas death match. I guess he's
with Daniels.
with the fallen angel Christopher Daniels. So I don't know. Maybe this is Daniels' final hurrah. This guy's been wrestling since 1998. No, yeah, before that, right?
There's a lot of those guys doing the Sunset Tour right now. So he hasn't announced anything. So I imagine
he's
he'll
54
still go
years
for a while,
old. Nobody yeah. realizes that about this guy. I'm sorry. No, he debuted before. Was it early 90s? 93.
Oh,
he started with Windy City Pro.
Wow.
He's been around for a long time. For a long, long time. Mm. And you know what? He was incredible. He really was. And in his peak, he was incredible. So that's what we're getting. We got the return of
Pac.
And
he's influenced, right, not just a thought on Christopher Daniels, how much people he's influenced. His big move is a top move on the WWE main roster now with Tiffany Stratton. So
yeah,
he's been an influence to a lot of people.
Pac defeated Commander. After the match, Claudio and Wheeler would make their way to the ring. The Outrunners would come in to save Commander. You got the Death Riders, Claudio and Wheeler Yuta defeating the Outrunners. You got to do something with the Outrunners. They got to stop losing. We need more wins from them.
I think they're going to be that fun comedy jobber team.
I want them to.
I know. It's kind of fun, but I think that's where they're placing them, in my opinion.
We got a non-title match. Mariah May defeating Harley Cameron. What do they call it? Hot Girl Graps?
Something like that.
We got this it. I mean, Cameron looked really good.
They might have another little star on their hands.
They may have something. I don't know. Pretty much, the story was that Mariah May hit a running knee and a Storm Zero for the win. That are continuing that little story there, which it will most likely be the main event for the Australia show or one of the main events. Brody King defeated Trevor Blackwell. Julia came out with Brody.
I found this interesting. There's a whole thing going on right now.
After the commercial, Brody King and Julia Hart were backstage with Lexi. They were interrupted by Cope, who said he respected King after their run-ins over the last year. Cope said that it was time for King to take the reins and run. So we're seeing this because we got the same exact thing, essentially, on Wednesday.
Yes.
With Buddy. Kurt says,
where
this goes.
Very interested where they're going with this. And they're going to split it up altogether, or are they going to go, or is he going to just kind of be the leader of the three of them?
I don't know. NXT champion, TNT championship match. Daniel Garcia defeated Shibata. All right. It was what it was. It wasn't terrible, but it was what it was. Chris Jericho defeated Dax Harwood. Now, Jericho would win with a Judas effect. But not before he used the title and cheated. The ending did not look good here.
No, this match was clumsy and
clumsy.
Slow,
yeah, it was. It was
the spot. I mean, some of these spots were like wrestling school level. Yeah. And it was like, man.
Yeah. So after the match, the Learning Tree would run down to beat on Harwood. Cope and Cash Wheeler would come down. The Outrunners would come down. Moxley and Marina would come down. It becomes a whole big thing. Powerhouse Hobbs would come down and take out all the Death Riders. Take out the Death Riders in both teams. So that's how the show ended. Lineup for Maximum Carnage on Wednesday. Hurt Syndicate. MVP with Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin versus Mark Briscoe and AEW Tag Team Champions Private Party. This is most likely going to lead to Hurt Syndicate getting those tag titles, which I'm very much looking forward to. I do like that Mark Briscoe and Bobby Lashley had a match. I think that's insane to think about that. That's a possibility to see on TV. AEW World Champion Jon Moxley defends against Powerhouse Hobbs. Casino Women's Gauntlet match for the women's title shot, for a women's world title shot.
This is going to be
Grand
Tony
Slam.
Storm, right?
It'll most likely be Tony Storm. You got Kenny Omega's debut return match against Brian Cage, Christian Cage versus Hook. New Japan Battle in the Valley Couple notes from here. It was in San Jose. Our very own Dave Meltzer was there. Looking like a stud on TV, taking selfies with people. Did you see that?
I didn't.
Yeah, yeah. He was taking selfies and everything. Gabe Kidd opened the show with Ishii for the strong open weight championship.
Favorite match of the show. For me.
But you know what? The reaction was it didn't get this crazy reaction, which I don't know why. I think maybe people were kind of caught off guard because it was the opener. It ended in a time limit draw. Kidd retains. That match was really good. And then, you know, you also got Zack Sabre Jr. and Hitchin Cerro, which might be my other
favorite match on the show.
This was my other favorite match because I find the style difference to be so interesting. When you take like a pure like lucha guy, right, like Hitchin Cerro, and you put him up against Zack Sabre Jr., which is all about, you know, submissions and holds, it becomes a unique thing to see. It's not. I love not seeing people that wrestle the same way. We're so used to that with WWE. With WWE, everybody wrestles the same way. Even the luchadors are wrestling the same way. Even the Japanese wrestlers are wrestling the same way. It's still very uniform. Maybe they do a couple different things, but still very uniformed. I like that it's not. You also got El Desperado defeating...
Assuming Shikai retirement match, we should probably mention that real quick.
Yeah, it was her retirement, but she teamed up with Evil. And that
was
interesting.
Fun.
It was fun because every time she came in, people were cheering. Every time Evil would come in, it was terrible. And I believe it's because Sumi helped Evil.
Get into the United States.
Yeah. Wrestling Observer Live, we'll be right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live. We ran out of time there. Final segment of the show. I really like this. Think about it, right? We also had MLW last night, where Matt Riddle won the MLW World Championship, defeating Kojima. He's a fascinating story, Matt Riddle. A lot of what could have been. Not saying that there's no chance of it happening now, but it's so... I remember the way that they were talking about, I mean, he's still incredible, but the way that he was being talked about was, oh yeah, this is a world champion.
And not just a world champion, a UFC world champion, probably.
Yeah, he was incredible.
Things go differently.
Yeah. Still incredible, he's still great. Matt Riddle defeated Kojima to win the title. He also had Donovan Dijak defeating Kenta. That was another match, Atlantis Jr. versus Blue Panther and Dark Panther. I did not get a chance to see the whole show. I was so tired last night, and I was trying to figure out, you know, I consumed so much wrestling this weekend that my body gave out. Also, Darby Allin's taking time off. Wanted to touch on that to prepare for his Mount Everest climb. And Malakai Black is believed to be done with AEW. In this week's newsletter, Dave said that there might have been talks of bringing him back to WWE, but no one expects him back in AEW. So that's done. All right. Interesting. I don't know what that means. You know, he was another one. He debuted in such a tremendous way, knocking out Arn Anderson and then going after Cody. And then it just became, he just became a tag specialist. I don't know why. Very strange still to me. A lot of good stuff happening. Next week, obviously, we got Maximum Carnage, Monday Night Raw tomorrow night, which I'm looking forward to because I want to see what it's going to look like. Will it look like this every week, or was it a one-time shot? We'll find out. See you next time on Wrestling Observer Live.